You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You can catch this man on an all-new Dog Pound Report this Sunday at 11:30 a.m. on News Channel 5, talking, of course, about ClevelandBrowns.com senior staff writer Andrew Gribble, the Gribbs. What's going on, brother?
What's up, guys?
How you doing?
Doing great.
Gribbs, we talked about a few things today, so I want to get your take on them. Number one, have you been watching any of the U.S. Open?
I was following Tiger's demise on Twitter yesterday, and like that, the shot he had on 18 yesterday that just didn't even lift off the ground, I think it was like a fairway wood, that looks like every shot I take on the golf course. And like that was like, I guess it's a decent shot for the course because it's like such a,
it's like cement.
It can roll, but I mean, it's just, I grew up, like I was a young kid watching Tiger just be amazing, and this is like just, it's fascinating because it's just, it's not just that he's average now. It's way off the deep end right now.
Is it maybe, are we watching maybe the greatest demise of a great athlete?
I think the only thing that you can compare it to is Willie Mays. You know, everybody else is like trying to compare it to other things, but Willie Mays was one of the greatest baseball players of all time.
According to Pedro, the greatest.
Right, and when at the end of his career, the thing that's so much more amazing about this is he's not out of his physical prime for a golfer.
Right.
Could this be
the equivalent to Jordan winning three titles, so Tiger having the last decade, then him going to play baseball? So right now Tiger's in that baseball phase where it's like it was like watching a train wreck, seeing Michael Jordan, you know, swing at the plate playing baseball, but then his rise back to the way in which he was before and winning titles again. Could Tiger do that?
You know, I'm a Tiger apologist.
I am too.
And I'm going to continue to say until he retires that I still think he's going to find it somewhere.
Do you think Tiger's a guy that goes to the senior tour? Or he just plays as long as he can in his current state and then just fades away?
That's a good question.
I think he's too competitive for the senior tour. I feel like he's going to always think he should be on the PGA tour.
He'll try to play all these majors, but I think if he can't win another major, he might try to win a senior major.
Forget about winning a major. If he keeps not having the ability to break 80, he's going to just have to go away completely.
Right.
It's amazing. Do you think this is a good U.S. Open course, or does it look too much like the British to you?
I was just looking there a few minutes ago. I couldn't even tell where the green was. Like, it just like,
yes,
it looked like they were putting on the fairway. And
yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, it looks like any course that doesn't have water or trees looks good for me because that's where I could play better golf. Links plays
there's a lot
to
of
my,
sand on that course. So.
Links plays to my strengths. So I like it better. I agree with Gibbs though, what he said earlier. I like seeing these guys look more human. So whatever it takes to do that, I'm fine with whatever the
course
looks like.
You're in. All right, we heard from Tashawn Gibson earlier this week. He comes back, and one of the debates that's been going on with these guys talking, is this the best secondary in the NFL?
Well, yeah, I think they've got to be put up there, and I think that the thing is you want to go out and see them build off what they did last year, and I think that the key is you have three of the four guys went to the Pro Bowl last year.
Yep.
You bring in Tremont Williams, who is just kind of a solid veteran who's going to be guarding the number two wide receiver for the first time in years, and then it's just gotten to the point now where we look at all these other players in that secondary and we're wondering who's not going to make the cut. I mean, you had Jordan Poyer, who's had a heck of a spring. You're wondering where they're going to fit him in. I think we watched Deontay Saunders, where if this was a team with a weak secondary, this would be someone we'd be talking about as a potential guy who's going to have a significant role, kind of like a Kaywan Williams of last year, who, you know, speaking of Kaywan Williams, is the player who seemingly everyone is the top defensive player during this offseason workout program. So everything just seems to be clicking right for these guys, and the support they're going to get from what we assume to be an improved front seven is going to make them even better, allow them to take more risks and things like that, and not put them in as bad of situations that maybe they rescued this defense from last year.
Andrew, it's very difficult to tell right now, them not having pads on, how good that front seven can be. At what point in training camp would you say they've made a stride and that defensive front, as you just talked about now, complements how talented we are in the defensive backfield?
I guess I'm just gonna have to wait until the games begin in the preseason. I think that's where you'll get the real test, because even when these guys go full pads and everything like that, you just don't know how they're going to respond until they get into the game settings. But I think there is reason to be confident or a little bit more optimistic about it. Just kind of the confidence they have in these defensive linemen where they've been rotating them with so many different players. And I think I've seen so many different guys working with what you would consider this first team defense. And the big emphasis really throughout these last few weeks has been alignment, which was apparently a big problem throughout the year. And I think having a guy like Carlos Dansby in the middle of that defense, him being in year two, is going to give him even a better handle to move these guys around. But, you know, I think with this Browns defense, when you rank 32nd in run defense, it's going to be kind of a people aren't going to believe you and are going to want you to see you prove it in actual preseason and regular season.
And just
games.
To add on to that conversation, as a former football player, as a former linebacker, I find it like mind-boggling that alignment could be an issue for more than a couple of weeks.
I find it mind-boggling it could be more than an issue for a half.
Because not only does the player that you're putting on the field not know where to line up, as I've said time and time again, as a linebacker, you're when like, you talk hey. About Carlos Dansby or Kirksey, it's like, dude, I called this front. Get over. And that's there. When you hear that big smack of the, you know, of the hindquarters to bump him over to where you need to be.
Good to use some hindquarters.
Exactly right. And that's where I just understand, like, a cerebral player like Carlos Dansby, who understands his role like the back of his hand, communicates with the linebacker next to him, whether it's Roberts and Kirksey and maybe Whitner as a safety coming down in support, you've got to know what everybody else does. And I just don't know how that could happen from 1 week to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. Otherwise, you just got to say, we got the wrong players out there.
Right.
And I think we've addressed that to a certain extent.
We can understand
year.
On the D-line because they were bringing guys in off the street. Like Fua came in and was playing literally off the street. So he might have known. But you're right. When you have those linebackers quarterbacking everything, as you used to do, you got to get them in the right spots.
When you consider Desmond Bryan, I believe he missed the first week of the season with an injury. This defensive line was basically never at full strength the entire regular season. And obviously injuries are going to come up sooner or later. No team goes through a season without a significant injury or two. But I think this team is now positioned to the point where they can maybe put an extra defensive lineman or two on the roster when they make the cuts, because there is so much depth at that part of the roster, and it's just going to make the decisions way too hard to make, and they're just going to have to keep an extra guy and take a one away from a different position.
It's going to be impossible to get this defensive team set and keep it under 53. Gribbs, last year you saw the offense. I think everybody's kind of comfortable with the defense. We know the line's going to be healthier. We know they'll be better against the run. Could be the best secondary in the league. What have you seen from the offense, and do you think people are going to be happy with the product John DeFilippo and Josh McCown put out there?
I think the last 3 days were really important, because I think we all talked about it throughout OTAs is that, you know, the defense was really getting the better of this offense, and you know, you attribute that to experience and everything like that. But at some point during this time of year, you want to see some progress. And I think we did. And I think a lot of that had to do with the pause on the installation. And I think that the players just looked more comfortable. I think you saw a lot more deeper throws from McCown in practice, and these wide receivers were getting the better of the defensive backs on occasion with those deep passes. Saw a lot of good completions out of wheel routes, which I think is, yep, is something that fans are going to really like to see. And I think the fact that you're hearing it from it's not just coach speak at this point. When you keep hearing the same things said about Josh McCown, whether it be from a Joe Thomas or from a Mike Pettine, offensive coordinator John DeFilippo, the fact that when he's naming one player on offense that stood out, and the fact that he goes with the quarterback, which seems like such an easy answer, but the fact
not
that he
here.
Stood out, yeah, the fact that he stood out and has made that big of an impact, I think, is promising. And I think for the first time in a long time, at least in the first few weeks of training camp, we're not going to be dealing with that kind of whole quarterback situation that maybe has been around for these last few years.
Andrew, as you look at the wide receiver core, and something that we lacked throughout last season were playmakers. We now have playmakers, but we don't have a lead playmaker. My synopsis of how we go into this team into this season from a wide receiver standpoint is that all of them are going to be similar in their receptions. You know, there's not going to be one guy to have that blow you away 1,200-yard season. So, from what you've seen from minicamp, who do you think could potentially be the leading wide receiver for this football team, and why?
Well, I think it's going to be one of those things where you might have two or three guys kind of in that 700 to 900 receiving yards range. I would have a hard time predicting anyone on this group to have a 1,000-yard season,
right?
Just because I just don't see the offense kind of operating that way. But because I do see just different skill sets out of each of these guys. I think Dwayne Bowe, I think it would be good to see him do what Miles Austin was able to give this team last year. I think that was an underrated injury that happened at the end of the season that it seemed like they really missed him in the month of December. I think Andrew Hawkins, I think, is in a good position to have the same kind of numbers, if not more, just because he's going to be, you think, in that same spot, barring a slew of injuries or something like that. He's going to be in the slot. And I think Taylor Gabriel is going to be out there doing a lot of things. The fact that
yes.
he averaged close to 20 yards a reception last year kind of goes under the radar nationally. But around here, he's becoming kind of a favorite among players, and coaches are always mentioning him. They love his work ethic. And he's more than just a slot receiver. I mean, he's a little guy, but he can do some things on the outside as well. So there's just a lot of different options. And I think Hartline is another one that's just a solid veteran that can do a little bit of everything for you. So I think there's four or five good options. So it's going to be kind of a wide dispersal of yards rather than maybe it all going to one guy and then other guys having to fill in as well.
All right, this is a question I want everybody to answer, and it'll be our final one here with the Gribbs. Andrew Gribble, senior staff writer for ClevelandBrowns.com. What one player has the most to prove in training camp?
Whew, that is tough. So I'm going to look at the kind of the I can't single out one guy in the tight end. I'm interested to see how this tight end group shakes out because I don't have a good read on it right now. And I think that is an area that's maybe going to be a little bit more competitive than people are giving it credit for. Because right now they've got a bunch of guys in there. I've liked what I've seen from the two undrafted guys in EJ Bibbs and Hapley as well. So I think that is going to be an interesting group where I think all of those, but I don't think anyone's job there is kind of just locked in. I know there's different types of tight ends, but there isn't, I wouldn't say, a clear guy rising to that. So I think there's going to be either a Dre, a Barnage, House, or guys like that. I think they've got a lot to prove in those first few weeks of training camp.
I'll go next. I'm going to go Danny Shelton. I want to see visually on the practice field the impact that he can make in stopping the run.
Dominance.
Because that dominance his ability to stay on the field potentially for three downs and be a viable pass rush opportunity guy for us as well, because I just felt if we could stop the run last year in a game that comes down to a few inches, we could have won one or two more, which would have put us at 9-7 last year. And I feel even with what looks like on paper a significantly harder schedule, our ability to stop the run only sets up to our strong suit, which is our defensive backfield that we've talked about as the best in the NFL.
I'm going to go with Justin Gilbert just from the standpoint of, you know, he was the top pick. Everybody wants to talk about Johnny. Gilbert was picked much higher. We traded up to get him. He's the guy that I'm looking for. He's got the most approved for me.
For me, it's another former first-round pick, sixth overall, Barkevious Mingo. I think Barkevious Mingo, Scott Solomon is pushing him for his playing time. Nate Orchard has looked good. You got Paul Kruger. Barkevious Mingo, you know, he toughed it out last year. Great guy. Played hurt. Played basically with one arm. Now he's got two arms.
Being in that red jersey all offseason hasn't helped him.
No, but he will be full go for training camp. And you want to see what he can do. He's great in coverage. That's fine, but you don't draft a drop 3-4 outside linebacker sixth overall.
And I think that's the difference in this roster, whereas last year, if he'd spent the entire spring in a red jersey, you'd just be like, oh, we'll just slide him in with the first group when training camp opens and he's healthy. Now you've had other guys filling in that role and improving their worth to this team and showing that it will be a competition when he gets back here.
They call Scott Solomon Bloodbath. That's his nickname for how hard he goes in practice, Bloodbath. You ever have any? Were there any? Is that up there? Would that be up there for you as a strong nickname
yeah.
that you've heard in your football
that guy,
days?
He's the equivalent to a Matthew Dellavedova. You love to have him on your side, but when you have to practice against that or play against that, you know you have to raise your game to another level to meet his energy level and tenacity
and his effort.
Yes,
E for effort. Gribbs, thank you very much. Follow him on Twitter at Andrew_Gribble. And, of course, they are cranking out just because the players are away. Andrew and Kevin Jones, they did a great job of archiving a bunch of stuff, so there's going to be fresh content all the time at ClevelandBrowns.com and the Browns mobile app. So Gribbs, thanks for being with us, and I look forward to seeing what you keep putting out there.
Man, not a problem. Thanks, guys.
All right. When we come back, it's time to play a little higher or lower. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. It's Gurkha Wilhelm.